Have you ever met a monster? I wish I could say I haven't. Ever since that day, whenever I looked in the mirror, that's what I saw. A monster. The monster I couldn't erase. Even though the monster was not me. Not me at all. But what I thought. What I believed. What I feared. There once lived an innocent little girl. One who was separated from her parents one day. When a kind man with strange eyes found her. The kind man somehow knew. He led her back to her parents, but by the time they looked back, he was gone. They had never seen him, and yet she always wanted to thank him. The kind man disappeared into the memories of the past. But little did the girl know. Someday, she would get her chance. In a way she could never imagine. A way that was far different. You see, that girl had a very, very close friend, but only one. One friend in the vast forests of the northern woods. The two were practically bound by the hip. Their parents, longtime friends and neighbors. And they, who at first found nothing in common, became fast friends. Perhaps it was a friendship of convenience, at least at first. But as time drew on, they grew closer and closer. They would have sleepovers one after the next. They were closer than sisters. One fateful night, she decided to walk the small distance between their homes. A distance that, during the day, seemed little more than a stone's throw away. But at night, she feared what lie in wait. The feeling of being watched often plagued her. She imagined great and terrible beings just beyond vision, under the shadows of the trees. And on this night, she ran, expecting something to chase after her. But instead, she was met with nothing. Nothing but the satisfaction of reaching her goal in one piece. With backpack and enough for a hearty sleepover, she descended into the home. Everything was normal. The jolly father who always made dad jokes. The busy mother who busily prepared dinner, one that smelled quite nice. And lastly, but certainly not least, her dear friend, Emma. You see, Emma was, if nothing else, a girl who loved books, stories, wide and far. Bold and shy, of romance, of fairy tales. Whereas Nazia was far different in her choices. Though they liked the same books, they would imagine writing a book of their own. Together. You see, they always loved to write stories and fairy tales of their own. With one slight difference. Nazia had such vivid dreams, ones which were both fearful and violent. She never told anyone, but instead wrote them in poems, a feeling that she could only share with dear Emma. The night started as simple as any other. The two were quickly off to Emma's room, though in truth, her room was quite modest. Never quite fitting the ideal description of what a girl's room would be expected to be. Though Nazia supposed she probably preferred it that way. She never wanted to be just a girl. She aspired to be so much more. In fact, in her fairy tales, she'd always write herself as some kind of special being, ranging from birds to elves to princesses. They'd always write each other into their stories somehow. Amidst discussion, Nazia's face went blank. "What was it?" asked Emma, curiously. "I saw something." Her eyes still locked on the window. But after the two drew closer, there was no sign. Nazia was sure she saw something. It looked almost like a foot entering in where the light and darkness converge. But a simple floodlight shining down and separating the contrast of light and darkness in such a bold way that it looked like the world fell off into nothingness beyond its gaze. "Why, there was a shoe, and then..." A trembling Nazia tried to make sense of it. Emma was quick to dismiss it. In a feat of perfect timing, Emma's mother showed up, asking them both if they'd like to come to the table for dinner. It was the specialty. Chicken pot pie. Why, they were courteous as usual. That happened to be Nazia's favorite. Emma's too. They rushed down, all but forgetting in their childish glee. The table was set like a fairy tale, elegant as it was aromatic. A single candle in the middle of the table set the mood as being slightly endearing. The meal was savored, a type that really emphasizes the flavor. A meal that was unforgettable. But before its conclusion, she thought about it again. What if there really was someone outside? She brought it up very briefly to Emma's father, to which he responded that they must have a lot of time on their hands if they're coming here to a locked house. All the way in the middle of nowhere. and they laughed it off. And as it came so many times before, bedtime had snuck up on them. Emma scurried up the stairs towards her room on the second floor. Nez was close behind, trying to keep up in a playful gait. Before long, they were there, ready for bed. The lights were turned off and they were tucked in, as was ceremony, as both of them were essentially sisters. The parents would tuck them in and give them a quick story, and hopefully send them to the realm of dreams. Of course, before any of that, Nez did a cautious look out the window one last time, perhaps to put it to rest in her mind, or perhaps just because she was curious. This time, there was nothing, not even the wind, just that spotlight hiding everything beyond in the engulfing darkness. Everything that she couldn't even fathom. She felt as though something looked back, and it gave her chills down her spine. But she couldn't prove it. She couldn't do anything about it. It was just a feeling, and one she had gotten many, many times before. Soon came the story, alongside the parents. Of course, she appreciated it, as it got her mind off that terrible feeling, and in a truly childish manner, she fell asleep midway before the princess ever got her prince. But her sleep wasn't long-lasted, no. She jolted up at the sound from below. An empty bed beside her, where Emma should have been. But what was it? It was one of those noises that couldn't have been explained. Clearly they were awake, but why? She couldn't understand it. And she heard something. Again and again, a sound like knocking from down below. Step after step, the creaky floor turned. And step after step, she descended the stairwell before finally she met it. The door to the bathroom cracked open. She wanted to peek, but knew it would be rude to do so. What if there was a bath being had? She was quite the courteous girl, Nez. But something changed that. When she was about to go lay down, she noticed something on the ground. A terrible, terrible feeling welled up in her stomach, down to the pit. There was something she was stepping in with her bare feet, like cold syrup, but different still. In the dim light, her eyes were sadly inept, unable to discern. But then came the whimpering, a small sound, barely audible, of someone breathing, but in short gasps, each exhale being a small whimpering sound, one which reminded her of Emma. She succumbed to her curiosity and peeked. wanting to make sure her friend was all right. Her eyes couldn't be removed at what she saw. On her left, a towering figure of a man that looked like a prince, dressed in strange clothing. But on her right, the bathtub presented itself. She felt it, deep within her stomach, a nausea building at what she saw. There were ropes tied, and a great deal of blood. Her friend's head kept above the solution that looked like dirty water. Her friend quivering like she was cold, struggling softly, weakly, in pain. She could not open the door as her shaking legs gave out. She sat for a long moment as the door creaked open. A strange, empty feeling washed over her of dread and horror. She had gotten her wish. The man who had saved her so long ago stood there with a listless expression. She opened her mouth for words, but found only choking silence. The man walked over with a smile like meeting an old friend. He pat her on the head and said, "I always wanted to see you again. Did you miss me?" To which she dared not answer negative. She nodded her head, tears rolling down her eyes as she now saw Emma strung in to the tub. Sulfuric acid eating away at her as she begged with her eyes for help. Nazia could not avert her eyes until the man grabbed her hand, leading her inside. He gleefully explained it took him so long, to which he apologized and explained he had to do this to celebrate. To celebrate their reunion. As he closed the door behind her, she saw Emma's father crucified like a pig against the door, caught in an existential struggle against his own inability to do anything. His eyes fixated on his daughter dissolving in the tub, and his other daughter getting a pat on the head as he mouthed words. Nez didn't even know what to say or what they meant. The only thing that stuck was their glaring eyes. She understood their glance, even in her naivete. They were hateful glares that she was to blame. She knew that under normal circumstances, they would never have thought something like that. But this wasn't normal. They were dying, and she was being praised. The man explaining in front of their face that their deaths were because of her. Before she knew it, her tears dried up. There was nothing. Her wide eyes not daring to look at the other two. Instead, she was fixated on the man. The nameless man led her outside the bathroom as the daggers glared back. He explained about preparing a meal, her favorite. She was tied to the island, haplessly there, against it, watching the oven which housed her leg that must have been butchered and put inside of one of her famous pot pie crusts. Nez was terrified, and yet she could shed no tears. Perhaps it was her fear. Perhaps it was just out of pity. Why would she cry when the others were barely even alive? The mother of her dear friend, barely conscious, stared at her like a ghost, never leaving the gaze as he grabbed the fixings and the pie. She was made to carry the plates and the silverware. The man acted as happy and as hapless as an old relative coming to visit. He was beautiful like a prince. Never once did it seem like he was the one who did all this, until he said those words. Little allusions to it. The pot pie. As they made their way upstairs to the small table Emma and Nez used to draw on, they would write their stories there. And he sat down by Emma's favorite stuffed animal, Jammy, all the while talking about his life, encouraging a great big slice of pot pie for her to eat. He insisted before smiling. If not for the circumstances, she'd happily have accepted. But she still did. She grabbed the plate with shaking hands, perhaps for fear of sharing the fate of the family. She took her fork and dove it deep within the crust of the pot pie and took a bite. She wished to be nauseous. She wished to be repulsed, but instead, it wasn't bad. This was the final straw in her defense as tears welled up, going down her face. She looked at him, asking why her, at this point, her self-preservation lost. She just needed to know. And then he told her. That's an easy one. Because you're just like me. Those words froze time for her. The rest of the night, fading to a blur, she sat there long after he was gone. She couldn't accept them. She didn't want to be like him. And yet now, she feared it. Even after the sirens came, and she heard the voices of pain below cease, she could find no courage to move, and search as they might, the man was never found, no suspect, no case. It went cold, like the chills that ran down her spine when the words repeated every time she'd look in the mirror. She'd see him behind her. He'd be holding her shoulders, mouthing those words with a smile, one that was so sickeningly innocent and warm that it almost seemed genuine. The monster who met me is still with me, even still.